Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Go the extra mile in your own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You could win in Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. Want to enter and get rules? Go to foxsportsradio.com by January 24th. Mercedes-Benz vans. Well, he won a Super Bowl. He coached for just shy of a decade, 9 years, with the Ravens. He was also a coordinator, offensive coordinator, for the Minnesota Vikings for 6 years, so he knows offense and has had offers to come back in the NFL. But as he has told me, it is a young man's game. He's an NFL Network analyst. His name is Brian Billick, and he's joining me now live. So let me start with this. I look at Urban Meyer to the Jaguars. What do you think right now, Brian, is going through his mind? Because he's on the fence with this job.
Well, Urban, obviously, is a good coach. And there's always the question, can a college coach make that transition into the NFL? And yeah, the answer is yes. A good coach is a good coach. Now, someone that's never had any NFL experience, that is a transition. And I think that's probably what he's thinking about. One, do I want to come back and coach? Because it is a grind, you know. And secondly, you know, will what I do work in the NFL, and can I put the right group together? Those are all questions that he's got to have legitimate questions for, having never done it in the NFL and knowing exactly how that fits. So I'm sure these are some real questions for him, probably as much as anything. Can I put the right people around me and you know, can I get the right people in to make this thing workable?
You know, it's interesting. I would want him to have some personnel say, because Brian, this NFL draft, he's recruited most of the top players. Wouldn't you, if you were a GM and you took the job, wouldn't you, like Pete Carroll when he came out of USC, his first three drafts, he just mopped up. So, I mean, I guess if I owned the Jags, don't I want Urban to have say in personnel?
Yeah, you want your coach. I don't care whether it's Urban Meyer, whoever. You want say. Obviously, you have to have a certain structure as to who, just like play calling. At the end of the day, there's a lot of opinions, but someone has to be vested and say, yes, this is what we're doing. The same with the draft and put it together. You want input. You want all the input you can get. But at the end of the day, there has to be that singular voice. Now, that can be your voice. It can be the GM's voice. You know, that's all well and good. And you're right. He's going to bring a perspective with it. The hard thing for Urban will be, you know, he was at Ohio State, just like a Nick Saban in Alabama. You look at the top 150 high school players in the country, you can say, okay, I want these 20 or 30. You're going to look at that, you know, you're going to have 150 guys on your board draft day, and they're all going to look good. But you're going to get, and that board empties quick, and you're going to get three of them. So, you know, it's a little bit different dynamic, particularly when you've been someplace where you can kind of pick and choose the talent you want. Like you could at an Ohio State, Jacksonville, they'll do a good job and they'll do a great job evaluating it. But at the end of the day, you know, your top three picks after that, it's okay. You're like everybody else. Take a flyer on this guy or that guy. But clearly that structure has to be in place and he has to be comfortable with how that's going to get done. Cause at Ohio State, it was one-stop shopping. You know, he was everything. Final say. Didn't really even have to answer to the president or the AD. A little bit different in the NFL.
So stories out of the Miami Herald today as multiple Dolphin players question the coaching staff's loyalty to Tua. Now, years ago, Brian, obviously you would give a young quarterback at least a year and a half before of assessing him before you really made judgments. But, Brian, over the last 15 years, the high school quarterback industry has exploded. These kids have 10,000 snaps by the time they're 12 years old. Tua's got 9 games, 600 snaps, 300 passes. Can you see them with a number 3 pick saying, we got enough footage, we're not into him? I mean, what would you do if you read in the Miami Herald today and you coach the Dolphins, a lot of these veteran players are like, he's not nearly as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Well, that's got to be a concern. You wonder where that's coming from. But clearly job one for them, and it was a unique situation for them because they had to do it while they were trying to make a playoff run. Typically when your young quarterback comes in, your first-round pick, you have the second half of the season, get him some seasoning, you're playing for next year. That's all good, well and good, and it really doesn't matter. you know, how, if he throws an interception, who cares? We're just going to lose another game. We weren't going to go to the playoffs anyway. But Miami had to walk that walk where, you know what, we're still kind of a playoff team. I thought they did a pretty good job with it, brought Fitzpatrick in when they needed to. They clearly have enough to know whether Tua is the guy or not. Plus, they're sitting there with the third overall pick. That's some pretty good collateral, either to get one or get trade in and get some more. So if they can convince themselves that Tua is the guy, they got some capital there at the number three pick where they can really parlay that into something else. But the bottom line question is, do they think he is the guy going long term, or is one of these other guys maybe more attractive to them?
So the Browns go in as a 10-point underdog to well-rested Kansas City. Obviously, if you're a 10-point favorite, you have better personnel. That's largely understood. But go back to your career, Brian. Did you ever go in as a significant underdog, and did it work? And did you play that to your advantage? Did you let it be known among players? Did you talk a lot about it, like Cleveland Space this week?
Oh, sure. You get that chip on your shoulder, us against the world. Nobody believes in us. You hear that all the time, whether it's legitimate or not. And even if it's not true, you make it up as a coach and try to get your team to believe it, you know, just to get try to get that edge. You know, Cleveland, clearly because they're the newbie to it and they're playing the reigning Super Bowl champ, are they capable of beating Kansas City? Yes. Do they have an offense that can be explosive at times? Baker Mayfield can be efficient if he doesn't turn it over. They've got a really solid running game, and the defense is solid. So can they beat Kansas City? Yes, but the number of things they've got to do, not give up the big play, rally up and tackle and minimize the yards after the catch, run the ball, keep time of possession, get in the red zone, score touchdowns, not field goals. Can they do that? Yes, but the hard part when you play Kansas City, you got to do it all. You can't do three out of the five. You can't do four out of the five. You got to do all five, or Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City is going to beat you. So are they capable of doing it? Sure they are. They've got the talent. Will they do it? It's a tall order.
So I remember Jimmy Johnson talking to me once about, you know, at the end of Dan Marino's career, you get into kind of uncomfortable conversations with rich, iconic. I mean, Miami was Dan Marino's town. And Big Ben kind of runs Pittsburgh. And if I'm Mike Tomlin, after what I saw at the second half of the year, I think it's time to have one of those uncomfortable conversations with Ben about how hard is he willing to commit in the offseason. He looked tired. He looked old. He didn't move well. If you were in that room in Pittsburgh and you fought him for years, how do you broach that conversation with a star – with a lot of power, and you know when you look at film, we may not have a guy that can get us to the next level.
Yeah, that's not a conversation you want. You don't have the conversation. You just have to make the decision. Either you're coming back or you're not. Because if you ask the player is always going to think they can go a little bit longer. And Ben can go, wait a minute, I had 35 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. The thing that was going on the last quarter of the season wasn't all me, which is legitimate to a degree. The fact that Pittsburgh can't run the ball still fathoms me with that offensive line. Connor's a solid. So I don't know what's going on that way. But Ben can certainly play. The next question has to be asked. Okay, we've decided he can't do it. We're going to move on. Now what? You got to have that next. You got to have the answer to the next question. There's going to be a few interesting options, maybe in free agency. You're not really in the position draft wise, unless you want to spend a whole lot to move up. There's a lot of open ends to this conversation in terms of, because it go, like I said, there's two parts to it. Can he still play? And if he can't, what's our best option?
Yeah, that's interesting stuff. So we have seven different job openings right now. And this morning I went out and I kind of speculated. I don't have any inside information on him. It was more, for instance, Brian Daboll, the coordinator for the Bills, went to high school with Tom Telesco, the Chargers GM. I think he's a good candidate. He's got a quarterback. Like, that fits, feels good to me.
Sure.
I thought Jason Garrett, a very mature, functional man in sometimes a little chaotic organization, the Jets. I thought that felt like he grew up in New Jersey. I thought that kind of feels right. Urban to the Jags, I get why they'd want him. He's kind of a little juice to an organization that doesn't have a ton of juice. Sure. Yeah, so here's my – I had Urban, Jason Garrett, Arthur Smith. So some of these guys, by the way, are going to have more than one option. What would you say to a young coach who may get more than one NFL option? What are the one or two questions or concerns for a young coach going to a new place?
You know, at the end of the day, and I'm always asked, okay, which of these are the best jobs? And yeah, there's a lot of factors, but at the end of the day, what's the quarterback situation? That's the unique thing about these seven jobs. You're looking at five of them with legitimate, notwithstanding where you think about Carson Wentz, but legitimate quarterbacking op. You're going to start with a top-tier quarterback. Yeah. And oh, by the way, the two that don't have it, Jacksonville and New York, have the number one and two draft. And as you said, a quarterback-rich draft looks like right now. So this is a unique year. This, all of these jobs, to me, this is as an attractive job fair as I've seen in a long time, because they all have quarterback options. You're not going to have to go in and solve the quarterback question right now. So it really is, how do I rank them? Well, how do you rate the quarterbacks? Wow. You know, if you think Justin Herbert's the best quarterback of that group, or you think Deshaun Watson's the best quarterback in that group, then that's probably the best job. Now, certainly you got to pair it with, well, what is their cap situation? Are they in good shape now? Are they heading towards a crash with the cap? Ownership to a degree, but that is kind of hard to put your finger on as to this is a good owner, that's a bad owner. So at the end of the day, it's what's the quarterback situation and how quickly can I wrap things around it?
By the way, your jacket, X-Tech Equipment, I see you have on there. That is that's the shoulder pad company, right?
Yeah, we are. Been together. I've been with them for 8 years. One of the original investors, Bob Broderick and Teddy Monica, done an incredible job. It's the number one pad in the National Football League. You know, they got to take the head out of the game. We know that.
Right.
Well, that means it goes to the pads. And we got the number one pad in the NFL, replete through the college game, you know, whether it's Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Ohio State, all the top NFL players, Kittle, DK Metcalf, Josh Allen, Aaron Donald, all in X-Tech pads. They're available at the high school level because you got to protect these young people. I'm coaching my third grade grandson's team right now, which is kind of not right now, but I did in the fall. It's kind of interesting, a little bit different coaching that group than the group I had. I always say, you know, well, one group's immature, doesn't know what they're doing, and hard to focus, but working with the third graders isn't easy either. So, this is where the safety of our kids is heading in X-Tech pads.
Brian Billick, NFL Network, decade in the NFL and a Super Bowl ring. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Sounds good.
All right, good stuff. That Dolphins situation's really interesting. 9 starts, has not been a bust, 6-3, accurate, mature, coachable, good like adult personality. What do you do with that third pick? See, here's the other thing. I could make the argument with Tua. So here's my argument. If I'm Brian Flores and I want him to win, Brian can say, one, he costs me nothing for the next 3 years. He's free. That's a big deal. We know that rookie contracts allow you to go out and spend money on Byron Jones, the great corner, Kyle Van Noy. The second thing is, my defense is so good here, I don't need him to be great. If he's B, we can win the division, and then it's a roll of the dice in the playoffs. The counter to that, to a player that's talking to the Miami Herald, is Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are in the AFC. You're not going to hold them to 17 points. They're scoring 28 if you give them 8 possessions. And how do you only give them 8 possessions? We got to have the ball and pick up first downs.
I don't even know if Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are the argument. I think it's Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. Those are his contemporaries. I mean, yes, you're going to have to beat Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes if you want to win the AFC. But, I mean, Justin Herbert looks great. Joe Burrow looks great.
By the way, just think of the young quarterback. Herbert, Burrow, Mahomes, Josh Allen. Let's put Baker in there. You're going to have Trevor Lawrence, probably Justin Fields.
Lamar Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Lamar Jackson, last year's MVP.
Yeah.
That's the next 10 years in the AFC.
Does Tua compare to any of them?
Not really.
I mean, Lamar has developed a lot over the past couple years. But Lamar, obviously, Josh Allen as well. Josh Allen had the physical features.
They're all dynamic, except Tua. There's a dynamic. You can't say accuracy. They're all dynamic somewhere.
The counter to the argument about Tua being a B and making it work is kind of what I think happened with Trubisky in Chicago. They had a great defense. They have a good defense now. You had a moment where you had a Super Bowl-level defense and you had a B-to-C quarterback.
And you can't.
You can get to the playoffs.
You can get there.
That's not good enough.
Not in Miami or Chicago. Those places have had, you know, Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Oh, this league. So James Harden had remained silent about his reported desire for a trade, but after a 117-100 loss to the Lakers last night, he spoke about his feelings on the Rockets right now.
We're just not good enough. We don't obviously chemistry, talent-wise, just everything, and it was clear, like I said, these last few games. I love this city. I literally, done everything that I can. This situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, thanks.
Well, Rockets coach Steven Silas said James Harden was not at practice today. He said, "We felt it was best for the group and best for James not to come to practice." According to Woj, the Rockets are planning to keep Harden away until a trade is done, with the front office weighing the best offers from Brooklyn and Philadelphia, and the process is now moving quickly. The Sixers and Nets gathered momentum in the recent days, even before that news conference from James Harden. He hasn't scored more than 20 points in four straight games. That's his longest streak since 2012.
Yeah, first of all, unhappiness aside, not being in shape. I mean, if I trade for him in Brooklyn, I still got 3 weeks where he's got to get in shape. I think he's doing himself a disservice.
I mean, maybe Brooklyn's mentality is, unlike Kyrie, at least he's there.
And we can win half our games.
So he's an actual body that's there. Like, Kyrie is not even in the building, so it's not like he's going through something. He's not even there. And maybe this move will re-inspire James Harden to get back to what he was. I don't think that the situation in Houston can be blamed on anybody but James Harden. You've brought in a new coach. You've brought in different number two guys. Like, it's at the end of the day, you're the consistent piece. If there's one consistent piece and one consistent outcome, I tend to lean towards the piece that has been consistent as the root of the issue. Now, maybe he feels differently. He's in the building and there's some deeper issue there. I don't know how him going to Brooklyn is much different, but and the Sixers really either. I don't think the Sixers is the right place for him either. I don't know at this point what else Houston can do. What else can they possibly do?
All I know is this. I take Ben Simmons. I'm not taking Kyrie. No way I'm taking Kyrie in a trade if I'm Houston. No way. Not even I just like hang the phone up.
I mean, what else? But Houston doesn't have a choice at this point. They have to make a trade. I mean, he doesn't want to play. He's showing up. He's out of shape. It doesn't even look like he's trying.
If you gave me Ben Simmons and draft picks for Harden, I'd take it. Now, I'm not going to get the scoring, but then it's up to me to, if I have Ben Simmons, give me shooters. Ben will give me 19 a night, 12 assists, give me shooters. But I feel like Ben is young, he's healthy, there's some limitations to him, but there was limitations to Harden, and he's out of shape.
So you have Harden and Joel Embiid?
Yeah, and I think that's the best. I think I've said this from the beginning. Does it win championships? I don't know. But the styles fit.
It's a more realistic situation than Kyrie and John Wall, I think.
Yeah, no, I think Harden and Embiid, dominant interior force, Harden dominant perimeter force. I think it works. That's a 50-win team if they're healthy.
So for the second straight season, the Packers finished with a 13-3 record and are looking to make a deep run in the playoffs. They were stopped short of the Super Bowl last year, but Aaron Rodgers thinks their offense is ready to take the next step this season.
We thought we could win it last year. The Niners were such a dominant team last year. I think that kind of hit our confidence maybe a little bit. I feel like we have a lot of confidence this year. We believe in ourselves. Offensively, we're just a much better team than we were. We're a much more efficient team. We're playing with a lot more confidence.
They are a better team. They led the league in points per game this season. They were 15th in 2019, and they were 5th in yards per game this season. They were 18th in 2019. Rodgers had the second highest completion percentage of his career and the most touchdown passes of his career this season. So their offense is definitely better.
Were we better our second year together or our first?
Our second year.
Yeah, so let's be fair to Aaron Rodgers. If you get a new system, Brady's probably, now his age is a factor, but he'll probably be better next year. I mean, you look at Brady in December is better than Brady in September. So like, in fairness, it takes almost everybody a year in a system so that you don't, like, if you look at Kyle Shanahan and Matt Ryan, I think it was year two that it was incredible. Just takes time, so you don't have to think about plays. They're just like muscle memory.
I also think that that's the reason why they're better, not because they drafted Jordan Love.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I'm not giving Jordan Love
anything
a lot
to do
of credit
with
for
Jordan
the,
Love. Yes, yeah. And that's no disrespect to Jordan Love. It's just that Aaron Rodgers was great, and now he's in the same system for another year, and everyone's a little bit better, and everyone's a little bit more comfortable. And they were a great team last year. They just needed to get a little more physical. Like, they're better. That's what it is. It has nothing to do with him needing motivation from Jordan Love. By the way, he's also going to be a guest host on Jeopardy, which he revealed yesterday. And he was a contestant in 2015 and said that Alex Trebek was one of his idols growing up. So that, like, took the internet by
storm.
People
loved Alex Trebek.
I mean, an unbelievable television legend.
Beloved.
So Lamar Jackson has accomplished a lot, but one thing he's never done is play in the snow. Texas got hit with a lot of snow this past week. There's a 40% chance of snow up to an inch on Saturday night in Buffalo, and he has admitted he's a little concerned.
Zero experience. I never got to play in the snow except my first time seeing snow in Louisville, but we had a snowball fight, so that's totally different from playing in it. But yeah, that definitely would be my first time playing football in the snow.
Let me tell you Saturday, something.
If it does, hopefully it don't.
By the way, you think he's fast? You think he makes you lose your footing on grass? The advantage is to Lamar. As long as you don't get wind.
Yeah.
If you just get snow, if it's just slippery,
listen,
he's going to go crazy.
Buffalo is a very cold. I mean, we're showing some video of it now. That's a place that gets next level cold. It's like Lambeau. Like, it gets really cold. Now, an inch is not that dramatic.
Yeah.
But his press conferences are so great. He's so hilarious. He has such a good energy to him, just all around the game.
Like, I find him
on the field, in the press conferences.
I find him really easy to root for.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we had the Kyrie Irving story. Some guys are hard to root for. Even if you think they're great, you're like, it's hard to root for him. Lamar's easy to root for.
He's so fun. It's
Justin
so funny.
Herbert with his little boy haircut. Some guys are like, I want that guy to do well.
Yeah.
I like it. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline News.
Watson or Watoff? Where does he fit? We'll put the uniforms on. You tell us. The look right, the aesthetic, the optics, the fit for Deshaun Watson. Who wants out?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
At Jersey Mike's, app is short for appetizing. You'll save 25% on your order with the code MIKES25. But you got to use the Jersey Mike's app. I just ate their sandwich today out of turkey provolone. That's MIKES25 to save 25%. MIKES25. Go to their app through January 17th. Good to have you in. So Deshaun Watson is unhappy currently with the Houston Texans organization. There have been rumors that Miami would be willing to trade Tua and some draft picks. And we thought, let's just take a look at all the teams, put him in a uniform for Deshaun Watson. What's on or what's off? Where does he fit and where doesn't he fit potentially?
What's on? I'm not going to get this right. What's on, what's off? Chicago Bears.
So I would say Deshaun Watson to the Bears, what's off? First of all, high school in Georgia, college in Clemson, Houston Texan. Warm weather kid. You'd be asking him to go play in the coldest NFL city. Also, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, the GM, are on the hot seat. So in 1 year, Deshaun Watson could have coaching instability. I don't think it fits.
What's on, what's off? Niners.
I think people will be surprised. He doesn't look right in that jersey. I'm going to say what's off. First of all, he's got a history of injuries. So did Jimmy G. So I think San Francisco would prefer to get a player who, without the big contract, with a little injury concern. Also, this feels like an offense that is so run-centric that Shanahan has a ton of control and doesn't want his quarterback doing too much playmaking. I think he likes a quarterback that does what he wants. And sometimes Deshaun, you got to let him be Deshaun. What's off?
What's on, what's off? Miami Dolphins.
What's on? This is one of the easy ones. Who's he screaming at? Brian Flores has a 5-year contract, coaching stability. The defense is good already. You don't have to win by shootout. And I actually don't think the offense, Devontae Parker's 27, left tackle Austin Jackson, 21, Mike Gesicki, the tight end, is 25. Miles Garrett, the running back, is 23. I don't think the offense is in a rebuild. I think they need to improve the interior of their offensive line. And I think they have enough draft picks they could give some up.
What's on, what's off, New York Jets?
This is a go back and forth. I'd say what's on because they have a bunch of cap space and a bunch of draft picks. And Denzel Mims does look like a star at wide receiver. They do need, though, they're not strong at running back. They could use a little bit of a playmaker at quarterback. They have money to spend on offense to bring him a veteran wide receiver along with Denzel Mims. So it feels like he's what they need. Now, for him, he may argue about it, but he would stay in the AFC where he's more familiar.
How about the Las Vegas Raiders? What's on, what's off?
What's off? First of all, defense is bad, and they're one of 11 teams entering next year over the cap. So they have to hit a bunch of home runs in the draft, or they can't fix their defense. I don't like quarterbacks going places where they've got to throw 48 times. And by the way, this is a power running offense with a great tight end. Derek Carr is not the Raiders' issue. He's thrown for 4,000 yards three straight years. Their issue is, outside of Max Crosby, they have no pass rush, and they're not very good, and they've got to hit a bunch of home runs. They don't have cap space. So I think the Raiders are going to remain, even with him, highly entertaining and an average team.
What's on, what's off, Denver Broncos?
What's off? He kind of looks good in that uni, though, I'll be honest with you. First of all, Vic Fangio's on the hot seat, so you have coaching instability there. Secondly, the way they're built, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it's a power running game and some nice receivers. I think they're regressing defensively, which concerns me. They were 25th in defense last year. I also, is it really a great idea for Deshaun Watson and his agent to send him to the same division as Patrick Mahomes twice a year and Justin Herbert twice a year? Like, you're getting to a point where, not that you'd ever duck competition, but there's places I'd rather compete. That division, like the NFC East, that division's not it.
How about New England Patriots? What's on, what's off?
Now, this is the obvious one. What's on? He even looks like a Patriot. I mean, seriously. First of all, they don't draft. They have a great coach. He's going to get great coaching. And the defense is always fine. And the ownership's great. He didn't have good ownership. So he gets all this stability he never had. They have an inability to draft dynamic offensive players. So New England needs a playmaker at quarterback. He is. So I really think he's the exact... Their backs are okay. Their O-line's good. He's not going to be running for his life. But they've shown an inability to go to the draft and get dynamic players. He'd be a perfect fit.
The Indianapolis Colts. What's on, what's off?
Close, I'd say what's off. Reason being is Frank Reich, I think, has a better connection to Carson Wentz. I think that's obvious. Colts number one receiver, T.Y. Hilton, now is in his 30s, getting a little old. Michael Pittman doesn't believe he'll be the next star. I don't think it's bad with this O-line. He knows the division. I just don't think it's perfect.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, what's on, what's off?
Now, this is a home run for me. This is what's on. This one makes a ton of sense. First of all, they have tremendous wide receivers, and they're all young. He can grow with them. And they got more than one. So they could trade one. He had, you know, they got Juju Smith, Deontay Johnson,
Chase Claypool.
And secondly, the defense is taken care of. It's the most stable organization, one of the most in the NFL. You have a head coach who takes care of the defense. This is a home run.
The New Orleans Saints. What's on, what's off?
What's off? First of all, they're way over the cap. They are way over. So if there was an injury or an inefficiency, they got no money. Secondly, you got the Taysom Hill thing, the Jameis Winston thing. It just feels like it's a crowded quarterback room with a different pieces. I don't think it works. I think honestly, Dolphins, Steelers, Patriots, three home runs. We'll see you tomorrow.